Hello, everybody. Woo! Bitcoin is for suckers, part four. Ooh! Here we go. So welcome to the show. I'm doing as many installments of this as I can just because it's so fucking funny. I really enjoy doing this, though. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's not because I want to see Bitcoin.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
People cry. I'd rather see them make money, if they can. But the truth is, when they make money, they're really just making it off the backs of other people. Other people who are getting in. So the people who get in too late, basically during the top of the bull run, are giving money to trade for Bitcoin. And then what happens is the original investors sell their position at a high gain because they were in at lower prices. The truth is, all Bitcoin can ever be is a pump and dump scheme. It doesn't create any value. Doesn't have value naturally. And just because it's worth $70,000 right now, the market deems that. the market is riddled with smoke and mirrors, in my opinion. Ain't no way in hell Bitcoin is worth $70,000. Hell no. Hell no. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to continue to bet against it because the best way to make money, in my opinion, on Bitcoin is to bet against its downfall during a bull run. Luckily for me, I already own Bitcoin. I got in pretty early, to be honest. I never sold. And thank goodness I didn't because it's a real opportunity to bet against. So any losses I have with the Bitty ETF are basically compensated for by the unrealized gains. Both are unrealized no matter what because I'm not selling on a dip for the Bitty. And I'm not selling any of my Bitcoin either. So both sides are unrealized gains. Unrealized losses on the Bitty side, unrealized gains on the Bitcoin side. The truth is I swing trade the Bitty, which essentially what swing trading is in my definition of it. Everybody's got a different definition of swing trading. My swing trading, my personal truth on swing trading is I'm buying when it's low, when the Bitty's low, basically when Bitcoin has a bull run. And then when Bitcoin starts to falter and go into a bear market because everybody sells off because that's what retail investors do is they sell off very, very quickly. Because retail investors are scared and they don't want to lose money and they're gamblers majority of the time. So because they're gamblers, they tend to sell the moment that Bitcoin goes down in any form or fashion, which causes a cascading bear market. My boy, Tim Smith, says that he is visibly asexual for Bitcoin. My man. God damn it, Tim. Ah, good man. But, as you can see, I mean, Bitcoin's a true, true Ponzi scheme in all different ways. And the goal of doing this show is to educate people on the nature of this Ponzi scheme. Yeah, do I want you to lose money? Hell no. The truth is, people get bamboozled all the time. It's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate thing. And the goal is to try to get people to realize that Bitcoin doesn't create any value. There's nothing of real value. It's not even a store of value. It is the extension of an algorithm. And I think the sooner people realize it, the better. I would love to see people, you know, mature a little bit and stop getting in the comment section and totally making me feel like shit. Just kidding. I actually do love the hate comments I get on these videos. They're the sole reason I do them. Because honestly, it's just free advertising. The goal of having as many haters as I do on the internet is they share it on these Bitcoin boards, these Reddit boards. And it's fun. It's worth it. So the more that my show is distributed by people who don't like me, they're really doing me the favor. The goal is to get visibility. The goal is to get eyeballs on the show. And also the goal is to trash talk the shit out of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin sucks ass. And yes, I got in early. I never sold. And my gains have been fat. Fat gains, baby. But the point is, when Bitcoin goes up on a bull run, I can make money by betting against it. Now, I don't think it's a good idea to do what I do unless you already own Bitcoin itself, like you got in early or something. Now, if you want to take a risk, which I don't think it's much of a risk to bet against Bitcoin if you use an ETF, like a leveraged one, because a leveraged ETF that lets you actually bet against Bitcoin on like a minus 1x scale, it's not bad. That sort of leverage is pretty neat. And so leveraged ETFs are all for me. It really lets you bet against the price of Bitcoin. And the truth is, the higher the price it goes, the more I buy into it, the Bitty, because I get the Bitty for cheap. And it's a strange name for an ETF, by the way, because every time I mention the Bitty, most people think I'm talking about the Bitty from South Park, the guy who was letting Bono from YouTube suck his nipples. It's a weird thing. Anyway, so the whole point of the ETF, the leverage ETF, is to bet against the to basically profit off of the price fall of the medium, whatever you're betting against. It's a safer way to short, because you're getting exposure to all these options contracts that give you the ability to profit off of that downturn. It's super cool. And the cool thing about the ETF is, the managers, the people running the ETF, do all the heavy lifting for you by doing all the options trades needed to make it happen. Is it worth it in the end? I mean, it's a 1.33% expense ratio, so that's a little lame. But so it's like the sundae analogy, you know. I'll get a sundae, but they get the cherry on top. And so they'll get the sprinkles, I think, in this scenario, and they'll get the cherry on top. I get the sundae. Is really the analogy I'm trying to say. And I'm fine with that. So I want the sundae, even if I don't get the sprinkles. But yeah, anyway, betting against anything that has no intrinsic value is probably, in my opinion, the easiest way to make money. It's funny, because when I first got into Bitcoin, I actually thought, well, it's kind of a gamble, but maybe there is something to it. And then the more I studied it, even though I invested in it, I started realizing slowly but surely that what I put my money in was actually kind of a Ponzi scheme, but I was like, let's hold it anyway. And yeah. And then once it went on a fat bull run, I realized, oh my God, I could bet against it. And once I realized that there was going to be a bull run, I was like, I could definitely bet against this for sure. So here we are today, betting against wholeheartedly Bitcoin. I love betting against it. All the Bitcoin bros get really mad at me for talking about how stupid this bull run is. It makes no sense. The only reason the bull run's happening is not because of the halving. It's because there's more dumb money being funneled into Bitcoin, which makes it to where the price is going up. All these ETFs that were established is getting more institutional investors involved. And when there's more institutional investors involved, not institutional investors, but more like, a lot of them are probably shorting it. So it's weird. They're probably buying up Bitcoin they could use as leverage or borrowing Bitcoin for all I know, and then using it to short Bitcoin itself. That's always a possibility too, but I don't know how borrowing it would work. But anyway, betting against it's really fun. Look, the dollar's worthless. I'll say that right now. Bitcoin is where all cryptocurrencies, all physical currencies are worthless too. That's one of the reasons why I hold on to assets that actually are productive. Something that does something. Leased out real estate is a productive asset. Technically, real estate on its own technically isn't productive until it is leased out. Let's see. What's another one? Still trying to think, everybody. Hold on. It says leased out real estate. That's one. Stocks, obviously. I don't know why I blanked on stocks. Jesus. But yeah, stocks are another one. Stocks are a productive asset. You're owning a piece of a company when you buy a stock. So, like, it's really something to always consider. And who knows what people are really thinking half the time, but I really hope people soon realize how bad of an idea it is to be a long-term investor in Bitcoin. Well, sure, I've had Bitcoin for a while. I never sold it. Bought at low prices and just never sold. And that's the key to why I can bet against it. I'm not saying that's a good strategy. It's a lucky situation I'm in. Very lucky. Beyond lucky. And when you have the opportunity to bet against something as dumb as Bitcoin, you should, I'm not going to say that you should take it because none of this is financial advice by any means, but we're looking at something way more worthless than anything that's ever been put out there. More worthless than Beanie Babies, more worthless than tulip bulbs. We're looking at a bubble. At any time Bitcoin is rated as being worth anything in dollar values, it's in bubble territory. The proper target price for Bitcoin would be $0. But that's not the reality of the situation. As long as there's a cult following surrounding Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, there's always going to be some dumb money that's always going to be residually there. Bitcoin is always going to be volatile. There's just no way it could ever balance out. I don't even care if all Bitcoin has been mined. All 21 million of those Bitcoins have been mined. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be volatile. There's just no value there. People want to believe it's private money. It's private money, which means, sure, there's no governing body. There's no real regulation to it either. I guess the algorithm in a weird way does regulate it to a point. I don't know how that would work, though. Anyway. I'm going off on so many tangents right now. My boy Tim Smith is also saying, as a currency, Bitcoin is way too volatile. I'd invest in oil or other commodities before I did Bitcoin. Also volatile, but more real-world value application. Yeah, absolutely, because at least oil and gold are sought after. They are a natural store of value in some sense. You know, all those things are very valuable and sought after. Bitcoin, what does it do? You know, Bitcoin exists through, if you think about it, Bitcoin exists through precious metals. I wouldn't say precious, but it exists in computers. It exists on your hard drive or flash drive, wherever you store your Bitcoin at. So you need technology as a medium to hold your Bitcoin one way or another. So it's like the metals in your phone, the metals in your computer are worth way more than the Bitcoin itself. We've been fooled. It is a greater fool theory, by the way. And Bitcoin's greater fool theory is very fascinating to me because if you think about it, there's always another fool willing to get in. But what happens when all the fools run out? Well, the fools will lose money. But then they're going to see, so they're going to sell when it all goes down because they're going to be afraid, usually at a loss. And then when they see it go back up, they're going to get back in again and buy at the wrong time, as they always do. The fool will always lose money but think they're going to get money. And the people who end up making the money are the ones who tend to trade that volatility very well. Now, I still think trading crypto is stupid. But at the same time, hey, if you're good at it, fuck it. But just always remember, there is no situation where Bitcoin is really a legit long-term solution as an investment. Bitcoin is just an extension of an algorithm. It is a part of an algorithm. And that's it. It's a decentralized network, and that is probably the coolest thing about Bitcoin. I'll give it 100% props. The architecture, the software, amazing. Like, I'm a huge fanboy of it. Like, as somebody who loves software and developing it, I think it's neat. But it's not worth anything. And this is something I keep reiterating in every one of these videos. It's not worth anything. And the reason I do these videos is kind of a slap in the face to all the people who are just being terrible in the comment section, by the way, calling me broke boy. Okay, first off, I'm just a messy boy, but I'm a rich mofo because I'm an intelligent investor. I'm not like the richest guy in the world, obviously, but I'm an intelligent investor. I bet against things that are dumb and I make a good amount of money from it. It's about it. Like, if something's dumb and you can find a way to profit off the stupidity, yeah, take it. I think it's a good idea. Not financial advice. This is my personal opinion. And I do that. And I'm proud of it. And yeah, it's a greater fool theory. It's a greater fool theory. I'm going to try to do a Jordan Peterson impression, by the way. Jordan Peterson talks about Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is one of those, clean your room. It's one of those theories that really makes me sad to think that so many people are losing money on Bitcoin. Are they all butt boys? No, man. I feel like I'm sounding like Morty. You know, Morty. But you know, I just really want to say, you know, Bitcoin is one of those things that we all know. Yeah, clean your room. You gotta feel bad about it. It's a Ponzi scheme. That's so tough to do this, George. I'm not very good at doing higher voices anyway. Because he does kind of talk like this a little bit. Kind of Kermit the Frog-esque, I think. You never know. Oh man, bloody well. Bloody well, right? Jordan Peterson, baby. Anyway, but yeah, Bitcoin sucks. It sucks so much ass. Bidenomics sucks. Joe Biden's awful. 3.5% inflation increase. The Fed also, by the way, dude, I am so sick of Joe Biden and Bidenomics. He's done with it. But hey, guess what? Just so the YouTube algorithm leaves me alone, I love Joe Biden. He's number one. I love Joe Biden. I squeeze all my buns. I love Joe Biden. He is so cool. I love Joe Biden. He makes me go to school. Anyway, Joe Biden sucks. And the reason he sucks is, first off, the Democrats have been spending way too much money, taxpayer money. We're being put into debt even further, by the way. Like, we're in one of the biggest deficits ever. And my boy Tim Smith is saying, not enough of a difference between Bitcoin and gambling or sports betting for, hold on, what does that say? Is that for me? There's a whole heart symbol getting in the way. Power on. Sorry, my monitor totally tripped. my monitor actually went out on me. Sorry about that. Okay, my monitor's back. So it was like that was so fucking weird. My left monitor was totally being like stupid. Anyway, for me, can't consider it an investment. Yeah, it's not an investment by any means, and it just never can be. It shouldn't. I don't think it should ever be considered one. Bitcoin is basically gambling. All crypto is gambling, mainly because it's a 24/7 market where people can, you know, buy high and sell low, which is what they do. I think the one thing that people don't consider is the average cost of what you're purchasing. So people don't realize, so everybody is always so all in on everything. And I think that's the worst mentality you can have in investing is being all in on something. I may be confident in betting against Bitcoin, but I'm not stupid enough to put my entire check, my entire checking account amount. Like, everything in my checking account technically could, if I really wanted to, go towards betting against Bitcoin. But what if I'm wrong? That could be ugly. And so that's the point I always try to make. You know, if you're going to get in gradually, I think. So, like, as the biddy has been dropping during this Bitcoin bull run, I've just been buying about, like, 10 shares at a time, the lower the price goes. It lowers my average cost of what I own for the biddy, which is nice. And, yeah. So it's really just a game of playing the what is the average cost of everything you own for that particular asset. And that's fine. And then that's why I buy on dips for the biddy. Because I know that I'm getting... Because I know that the chance of a bull run eventually ending for something as dumb as Bitcoin is possible. Now, like I said, I still own Bitcoin. I never sold it. Got in early. So that hedges against my biddy trade. So no matter what, I'm pretty much A-okay. But anyway, I don't know who I'm trying to convince, you or me. But yeah, it's definitely not an investment. Does it go up in price? Sure, it really does. And look, do I ultimately want to prevent people from getting into Bitcoin? I want to try to at least make an impression on you to try to avoid it, just to be like, hey, maybe it's not good for your financial health to be into Bitcoin, you know? And I kind of hope people realize that Bitcoin's just not good. It's not an investment. Hold on, I gotta try to, my monitor just feels, oop, hold on. Oop. What did I do? Hold on. Hold on. Sorry, folks. My monitor's definitely not on straight. I kind of fucked something up. What did I do? Oh, I think you gotta plug something up on here. Hold on. Okay. I think I balanced it out. And it's good enough. I wanted to say that's okay for now. Looks angled. Hold on. What a test. See the eye test here? Yeah, looks good. All right. That looks angled. All right. Now, Tim Smith is also saying, if Bitcoin was the only investing option in the world, I guess you could take a chance on it with some of your savings, but there are so many better investment products out there, and I tend to agree with that. And the thing is, yes, the argument that people make is have fun with your slow growth in stocks. But the thing is, the growth is happening because there's a real valuation. You can make a true valuation on those companies. Nobody can truly make a real valuation on Bitcoin. All they can just do is be like, hope, pray it goes up. Pray that there's enough idiots out there to keep pumping it. That's pretty much it. And if you think about it, there's no measuring stick for Bitcoin's value. And because of that, it really has none. And it's no different than playing a casino game in a lot of ways. So, I mean, there are differences, obviously, but the outcome is the same. But yeah, if Bitcoin was the only investing option in the world, yeah, this can't really... Yeah, no, I agree with Tim Smith wholeheartedly, man. Yeah. Cheers on that one, man. I'm drinking root beer tonight. Virgil's. It's kind of like a hippie root beer. No, it's pretty good, though. Very natural tasting. It tastes like, in my opinion, it's a little more... Definitely not as flavored as most, but it's more... It feels like it's more natural. Has that kind of bite to it. So I like the bite. I'm a huge root beer fan, so... I've also been trying to drink less beer in general. So like regular beer, you know. So being able to drink root beer's been actually very good for me. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add. I do have to do some studying here in a bit, but with Bitcoin, I'll tell you the reason I am chasing the Bitcoin clout right now, because one, these videos actually get a lot of views and a lot of watch time hours. So I am proud to say that I am milking the teat of Bitcoin, but not in the way that most people do. See, I'm taking the unpopular approach. Most people create a crypto channel and they talk about how cool crypto is and how great of an investment it is. But at the same time, yeah, sure, they get a lot of subscribers, and it's ridiculous. But yeah, anyway, so the whole subscriber base is usually bots, from what I would probably guess. But I will say this real quick. I chose the hard path. My life would be so much easier on YouTube if I just gave into the crypto, but I can't. My conscience tells me it's wrong. And also the fact that I've read so many investing books tells me that would be wrong. And I could easily become a grifter if I really wanted to, but I choose not to. I don't want to. I want to help people. I don't want to. And if that means I have way less subscribers than some gay crypto channel, so be it. Anyway, always skeptical. Is asking, what are you studying for? And he also says the pain hurts at first and grows prudence at last. lies feel good now and pain you later. Oh, absolutely. And I would prefer to speak the truth anyway, because I don't lie. I'm not a big fan of lying. I don't like, it doesn't make me feel good even in the now to lie. I try not to. I'm really good at acting though, so I guess I could play a character, so that's a bit of a lie, but like just for fun anyway, I could pretend to like Bitcoin. God, that would not last long. That'd last for a week. But yeah, so you're wondering, what am I studying for? So I almost have, I got bored and I wanted to do those Google certificates that are done by Coursera. So I paid like a year, the Coursera Plus year subscription. It's like I paid like the yearly fee. So it ends up being like $33.25 per month. And I'm almost done with the Google IT course certificates. I've gotten 4 out of the 5 certificates. I got bored and I was like, what are some skills that may help me out on a personal level and also on a professional level? So being able to troubleshoot computer systems and networks comes in handy. And luckily I was already kind of, I've always been a bit of a nerd with computers and stuff. So a lot of it, some of it was easy, some of it was difficult. I'm going to admit that right now. Not all of it was a cakewalk. There's a lot of concepts, especially once we've gotten to the cryptography part of things, that gets interesting. Oh man, it's so much fun. Oh, I'm sorry, I get into it. But yeah, so I've learned definitely a lot about networking, troubleshooting systems, even some of the random software stuff. But overall, Coursera is nice because I never wanted to go to college. I like working, and I don't like going. I didn't want to go to school full time. I hated high school. I hate the traditional learning environment. I just like to learn. I don't. If I want to be social, I'll do it on my own time. But I always felt like school was kind of a forced association of socializing, and a lot of the people there, I didn't relate to. So it's really tough to socialize when you're around people you don't relate to, you know what I mean? Because I don't have a lot of common with a lot of people anyway, so it's already impossible. But yeah, anyway, so Always Skeptical says, let's see, I suck ass at networking computers. Also says, I even built my own PC. Hey, dude, honestly, when I first started even fooling around with computers in general back in the day, I sucked at it. We all suck at everything we don't know. That's there's nothing wrong with that, man. It's I'd rather suck at something than not do it at all. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. I mean that, by the way. So I'm going to repeat that because I think a lot of people should hear that in today's age, in today's perfectionist age, we should all be perfect. No, but yeah, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. I really believe that. The job that I do right now, the customer service job that I do, doing emails and doing calls, I sucked at it. I really was bad. I almost quit like a month in, but what I was bad at though was the social part, I was good with the computer part. I was good at, like, you know, noting things, doing all the necessary things with all the software and stuff. But I have to admit, my soft skills when I first started were terrible. This is all the way back in like 2012. But what happened was I was like, well, I got mad because I was thinking about quitting, but I was mad that I was thinking that way. And I was like, Mike, you do like do, because I didn't mind doing the job. Like, it was a very, for the most part, I was good at the majority of everything at the job, except for like doing the phone calls. I was actually pretty shitty at it. And I just decided to learn how to do phone etiquette a little bit better. Watch some videos on YouTube. Talk to my supervisor. Actually, I was like, hey, you know, it's like, I even told my supervisor, I was like, I suck at phone calls. How can I do these better? My supervisor was so happy about the honesty that he was like, oh, here's what I did. Because he had the same problem I did. He was not good on phones. So it was really cool. And, you know, there's always people willing to teach if you're willing to admit that you're bad at something. Cause it's like, hey, look, I'm bad at this, but I want to get better. Cause I do enjoy it. And like basketball, I was so bad at basketball when I was younger, I could have easily quit. Like, my parents even tried to convince me. I was like, no, I want to keep playing cause it's fun. And yeah, sure. Do I play at a professional level? Hell no. But I enjoy playing the game, even just playing pickup basketball with a few friends. I just enjoy it. So I think, like I said, anything worth doing really is worth doing poorly at first, even if it's for a few months poorly. But, yeah, that's what training is for. You know, you got to think of most months of doing something at first as just an incubation period of trying to figure it out. And then eventually, and not everything you suck at, by the way, you have to keep doing. There are some things that I suck at that I'm not even interested in. So if I suck at it and I'm not even interested in it, my heart's just not in it, and it's not really that important to me to begin with, I'm cool. You know? Software development's a great example. I sucked at software development when I first started. And I realized everybody sucks at software development when they first start. You got to learn. So I just read books. I'm sorry, I'm going off on so many tangents right now. I just get really excited this is going to sound weird. I get excited when I hear people doubt themselves a little bit, not because I want to see people fail, but I want to try to like let people know that it's okay to doubt yourself, but don't beat yourself up, and that trying and having a poor result is better than not trying and having no result, because no result is a shitty result. Poor result is a cool result because you at least tried. So that's my take on it. There's a lot of people philosophically who disagree with me on that for sure, but I don't think I would be where I'm at today if I had my dad's philosophy on life. I love my dad, but he really is a perfectionist, and I wouldn't say perfectionist, but he's one of those people who's all about image, and if you don't do it right, you probably weren't cut out for it sort of thing. He thinks that you're born with certain things, talents, whatever. I'm like, no. You know, talents, you can forge a talent, for sure. You can forge it over time. You can learn to get good at things. That's why you got mentors. That's why you seek out mentors. You got to figure things out, you know? But Always Skeptical is saying, Always Skeptical said, true statement, and also said, speak to the position you're pursuing after these qualifications. Okay, so to answer that question, I don't know what position I would want. It's not, I don't even want to do it for a career path per se. That sounds odd to say. I mean, I totally be fine doing it as a career path, but I feel like the skills I could learn from that would help me on a personal level, run my personal network better for like my home network, for my computer. It, like, if I'm having troubleshooting issues, I felt like there might've been gray areas that now have been actually filled, by the way, on how I can, you know, make my computer run faster, run better, how to make my network run better, things of that nature. And if I ever really want to, I have this, the knowledge, to get into any IT role. I wouldn't say any, hold on, take that back. Any, I guess, help desk IT role, or to get into a lower level IT position to work my way up in a company if I want to. I don't know if that's what I want. I enjoy learning about things. I'm really just a natural learner. None of this is really for a career opportunity or career advancement. It does look good though, because I put it on my LinkedIn, and I was going to print them out actually here pretty soon, because you could print them out and bring them with you and be like, hey, here's all my, here's my portfolio certificates. It makes people realize that, you know, you're a go-getter. So even if the certificates that you show them don't necessarily pertain to the job interview, it's like, wow, this guy really wants to learn things. And that matters. I like learn. I'm a nerd for learning. I can't help it. Anyway, Always Skeptical also says, I totally agree. I was an ass electrician originally. You have to be willing to look like a fool consistently to be successful. Oh yeah. Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes it can be a pain in the ass to look foolish. It hurts the ego sometimes, for sure. But also it's worth it, because then you get better, and then, like, you know, makes for a good story that you could tell later. Like, I was bad at this, but damn, I'm good now. Oh, man. But yeah, overall, I just Google IT certifications. I thought this was cool. And I don't know, just it looked pretty neat, and it does open up other career paths for me if I decide that I totally just, I mean, I've got over 11 years of experience doing over the phone, over email, over chat customer service. That alone pretty much lands me any sort of job like the one I have now. If I really wanted to switch companies, I don't really want to, though. I like the company. Well, hold on, I take that back. I like the client I work for, but not necessarily the company. I mean, I don't hate them, but I don't know. I'll just put it that way. It's tough. It's a tough. I have a love-hate relationship with the company I work for. It's a weird one. But anyway, they've been good to me. They pay me, so that's all that really matters. I'm good at my job. I get paid. And I have other things outside of work that I do that make me a decent amount of money. So that's the most important thing. The only reason I have the job is for a consistent income, and that's about it. My inconsistent income is my, honestly, dividends, swing trading, my DoorDash stuff that I do on the side. But anyway, I don't really necessarily like being an employee, but it is fun to consider working for a company, you know, a company that, I could help make better, you know, with the stuff I've learned, from this Google IT certification, man. I feel pretty damn blessed and grateful about it. So I'm having fun. Trying to think if I got anything else I want to add, you know, it's always fun to have Always Skeptical and, Tim on the chat, and I always love answering questions and, but yeah, I know that you guys are probably sick of seeing these Bitcoin videos, by the way. Bitcoin is for suckers, but for some reason, the title gets all the Bitcoin bros so enraged, so mad at me, that they have to come in and comment on the comment section. And the comments are brutal, man. I didn't realize Bitcoin bros are just vicious. I mean, they are keyboard warriors for sure. I'm a little bit of a keyboard warrior myself, obviously, because, you know, my job, I am behind a keyboard for my job. And then I'm also behind the steering wheel. Anyway, I would prefer to interact with most of these Bitcoin bros in real life, to give them a piece of my mind. Would never be violent, just to let you know. But I would, I feel like the points, I feel like they would cower if in a real debate. So not a comment section debate, because I don't know. I'm not the best debater, but I do, I'm passionate as shit. So anyway, Bitcoin bros, you're on notice. All you Bitcoin bros. Anyway, oh, Tim just booked, Tim Smith said, just booked my flight to Vegas for September to see Smashing Pumpkins. Better investment than Bitcoin, yes and yeah, or yes. Hey, dude. And then Always Skeptical saying, you will win your own prize. See, that's cool, man. I'm glad you, dude, I'm glad you got the flight to Vegas, baby. That's so cool. I mean, dude, if there's a band that you like, bam, and you really want to see them, go see them, man. Like, there's one band, for instance, but in particular, they're a Canadian band, Our Lady Peace. They're like my favorite band of all time in Canada. And, oh, man, I'm just a huge fan, so huge. But, God, I love Our Lady Peace. Fuck, they're such a good band. But yeah, anyway, Smashing Pumpkins is a really good band too. I'm honestly shocked that they still go on tour, man. Because for a while, didn't, and maybe I'm thinking of a different band, but didn't they like break up as a band? I could have swore that Smashing Pumpkins like broke up for a little bit. Let's see. Tim said, I want to end up on YouTube for having drunken brawl on Fremont Street, going to walk into Pawn Stars and Suplex Rick. My man, dude. Oh my God. Always Skeptical says, my favorite band is Tool, 100% Truth. By the way, Always Skeptical, I ended up seeing Tool in Eugene with my girlfriend. Truth be told, don't hate me for this. I was not the biggest, I was a moderate Tool fan. I'm not like going to say that I'm the biggest. I think their music's okay. A lot of people like, hey, I'm not dissing it, because their music guy is actually pretty interesting. I don't know what it is. I just could never fully get into Tool. But yeah, my girlfriend loves Tool. She got me to go to the concert. They put on a hell of a live show, and it was way more of an experience than I expected, for sure. Like, those guys definitely know how to do everything with the lights. Oh my God. Dude, so yeah, seeing Tool in Eugene, Oregon was awesome. Just fucking tight. I don't know if I had any video. I might have uploaded some video. If I find those videos, I'll link them to you. But, and then Tim Smith says, yeah, they broke up in 2000 and then got back together in 2007. And then a bunch of new lineups since then. Always Skeptical said, I'm jealous. It has its place. Definitely not a druggie anymore. It makes it better. Yeah, I will say, man, you should definitely look up Tool's future tour dates and see if they're like touring anywhere like close to you, like to where you could like go and see them, man. It was cool. Like, it was a hell of an experience, because it was in an arena called the Matthew Knight Arena, and it's like the acoustics were a little strange because of the arena itself we were in, but it still sounded really good. But it was pretty cool. Yeah, so I don't know why I'm just not like a super Tool fan, but I definitely appreciate their music though, for sure. Like, they are pretty awesome. Well, anyway, I realized I've been on here a little longer than I expected myself to be. So what I'm going to do, I am going to call it quits for the night, but I'm just going to read real quick the last comment from Tim. Tim is saying, total amount of child support and payday loans owed by Tool fans is greater than the total value of Bitcoin. That's I don't know why that's so funny to me. I don't know. That's too good though. But you know, Tool, honestly, if they come back through the Eugene, Portland area, I will absolutely, I do 100% want to see them again. That was fucking awesome. So I recommend, dude, looking up the Always Skeptical, looking up their tour dates, man. Like, if there's a band you want to see, man, you got, it's always a good thing to try and find a way to see them, man. Because I got to see if Our Lady Peace is doing a U.S. tour anytime soon, because they're like the one band. In fact, maybe I should just go to Canada for a bit. Go to Canada and see where the fuck Our Lady Peace is playing and then just be able to watch them. But hey, if they do a U.S. tour, man, I'm all aboard. I'm all on board, baby. Tim Smith is saying that was a low blow. It was a little bit of a low blow. That's funny though, dude. I mean, goddamn, that's great. I don't know. It's funny shit. But anyway, all right, you guys. I appreciate you all taking the time to chat with me. This is really just, honestly, these Bitcoin for Suckers videos is really just an opportunity to hang out with you guys. Oh, just, like talk and say all my stupid shit, but read the chats and then talk, comment on the chats. It's so much fun. I love doing commentary on the chats. I don't know what it is. It's so much fun. Like reading them aloud and then being like, and then here's what I think and all that garbage. But anyway, I'm going to sell you this pen. Oh, wait, it's a fucking pencil. Fuck. All right, anyway, thank you guys for taking the time to view this crazy episode. I appreciate y'all. I got to get back to the study, though. Almost got that fifth certificate, by the way. Almost there. So close, I can almost taste it. Anyway, later, guys.